week for more books.
Good morning. This is 2SER 107.3 and you're tuned in to The Vulture's Nest, a half-hour fun foraging through some of the news and culture of the week. I'm your host, Sean Morahan, and today I'm joined in the nest by Kate Island.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kate. Welcome.
Thank you.
Tarina Tate.
Is it morning? I don't know.
It's
still last night.
See, it seems you made the supreme effort to be with us this morning, and it's much appreciated.
Thanks, Sean.
And CJ Delling.
G'day.
CJ, welcome back to the nest. Can I start by asking my fellow nesties this morning, what would it take for you to stay in a haunted house? Not just for one night, but every night. Live there and work there. The reason I ask is our first story this morning. A couple in Scotland have advertised on the website childcare.co.uk for a live-in nanny housekeeper. They're offering a salary of £50,000. That's like a million of our dollars, right?
Several.
plus 28 days holiday per year, as well as bank holidays.
Wow.
The ad describes the role, and it's all pretty standard stuff as far as I know.
So you're looking after the ghost. Is that the role?
No. Until you get to the...
I killed it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's okay. Sorry, I'm excited.
That was nice how you sort of gave us the impression that you weren't going to be energetic this morning, and then we're into it. Thanks, T. The ad describes the role, and it's all standard stuff until you get to the last paragraph. The last paragraph is what's really been getting the attention and perhaps has driven this story to go viral. The last paragraph reads, "We've lived in our home for nearly 10 years. We were told it was haunted when we bought it, but kept our minds open and decided to buy the house regardless. Five nannies have left the role in the last year, each citing supernatural incidents as the reason, including strange noises, broken glass, and furniture moving." What are you laughing at? This has obviously been a period of great upheaval for our children. We haven't personally experienced any supernatural happenings, as they have been reported only while we've been out of the house. But we're happy to pay above the asking rate and feel it's important to be as upfront as possible to find the right person. I will just point out, too, where they say above the asking rate, according to the Scottish Sun newspaper, it is double, more than double.
Oh.
The average price for that job. It's £24,000 is apparently the average price for that job, and they're offering £50,000.
Mm. I'm going to be controversial and say, if you cannot afford that much money, why don't one of you quit your jobs and actually raise your children? I don't know. Maybe no, don't get someone else in if you're not seeing the supernatural stuff.
They're too afraid of ghosts. That's why they're never there. You know, they're like, oh, no, we've got to get a nanny in because these ghosts. Yeah.
Well, maybe even just going back a step as a little bit of an overview to this story. Could I ask all of you, firstly, do you believe in ghosts?
Kate? Yes. You do? I absolutely believe in the supernatural, which is why you could not pay me any amount of money to become the haunted house ghost babysitter. I'm not doing it. There is no way.
Sounds like a great movie, though.
When you say you believe in the supernatural but there's no way you're doing it, do you believe that there's a nice supernatural or is it all a bit scary?
No, I believe that there's a nice supernatural, but it is not for me to make behavior judgments on the on the supernatural. I don't care if this is a good ghost or a bad ghost. I don't care if this is a Casper situation or if it's little Damien from The Omen. The less I have to do with creatures from the next life, the better. I don't want anything to do with it.
You're living your life in this life?
I'm living my life in this life. I do not want to babysit Samara from The Ring. I would personally pay £50,000 to not have to take that job.
Okay.
I'm a scaredy cat and I'm happy to admit it.
Okay.
That's fine.
Well, we won't mention the ghost in the studio until after the show today.
Sorry, that's one of my tissues just lying on the floor. Sorry.
T, do you believe in ghosts?
Well, let me just preface it by saying that my background is part Māori and part Irish. So there's no way I was going to avoid ghosts in my life, I think. I won't go too deeply into it, but my sister passed away 7 years ago, and I met someone along the journey, this journey so far of, you know, grieving through all that, who gave good enough proof to say that he'd had a message from her. So a couple of objects that I personally had of hers that he knew and hadn't seen. And so, absolutely.
Can I just ask, maybe for the benefit of the audience, was that somebody who was charging money, who's a professional, do that sort of thing?
It was it was a friend. Another acquaintance. It was a friend and has become a good friend and happened to, so he's since gone on to sort of deal with those, I guess, gift, if you want to call it a gift. It was definitely, and it was a really emotional sort of experience for both of us, I think. So, and it's something that, he's been dealing with for a while and often gets little messages from beyond.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And CJ, do you believe in ghosts?
Yes, and I'm a scaredy cat as well.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you believe there's some nice ones out there as well as naughty ones?
Yeah, I think so. I'm quite fascinated by the whole, Iceland and the little trolls, the little elves, and how that plays such a huge part in their culture and also in parliament and in their, civil engineering and things like that. So I'm quite fascinated by that. And
we've got some supernatural creatures in our parliament as well,
That's right. That's why you need to bite an onion to keep them away.
I think it attracts one of them, the onion. We've talked about that before. But yeah, just get leave a trail of onions to where you want him to go. Okay, and maybe even from personal experience, have any of you ever been spooked at work?
Yes.
Kate, you have?
Yes.
Would you like to share?
Yes, I will. So in a previous role, my job was managing an adult venue, a brothel. We were open 24 hours and I used to work the graveyard shift. So I was there until 7 o'clock in the morning. Most of the time there was other people around, but sometimes I was alone. And one night I was by myself. There was no other soul, no other physical body, no other person in the building. And I was cleaning up in one of the rooms and I threw a tissue into the... Hold your remarks, okay, audience. Okay. I threw a tissue into the bin in the bathroom. And to get to the bathroom, I had to walk through the main room. So I walked through the main room. I went into the bathroom, threw a tissue away. I walked back into the main room, and when I walked into the room, when I turned back into the room, there was this thick white mist hanging in the air.
That wasn't there a second ago?
That was not there before. Oh. And it was so thick that it couldn't have possibly burst into the room all at once. Oh. That was my reaction. So I looked around, I thought, all right, cool, I'm out of here. And I walked out of that room. I did not look back over my shoulder. I walked down the corridor back into my little office and I stayed there until the next person came to take over the shift from me.
Gosh, yeah. Did you stay in that job much longer?
I left for unrelated reasons.
Okay.
Mostly the fact that I was becoming a bit of a spectre working night shifts. But that room always gave me the heebie-jeebies. And the second I walked in there on my first day on the job, I thought, this is not a room where I want to stay.
Did you ever ask the background of the building or anything like that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It was a purpose-built building, but the place had existed for probably 20 or 30 years. Mm. So I think in a place of such high energy...
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, in a place of such high energy when people are experiencing a lot of emotions, probably good, possibly bad. I think that there can definitely be energy imprints. And I think that that's what I saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. T, have you ever had a spooky experience at work?
Not at work, but I often at home.
Okay. House, but you work from home too sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah, no. No, okay. Never in a work situation, so.
Yeah. Okay. CJ?
No.
Right.
No. Sorry, no story, but I think even if I had a story, it couldn't top your story.
No,
so.
I think so.
Wow.
I think so.
Well, it was either a ghost or some kind of illicit substance was disturbed by the air conditioner. Yeah. So,
or just a really dusty room.
Yeah, lost really dusty. Maybe I'm not as good a cleaner as I thought.
And I think as well, I've had some experiences and afterwards, you can see the light side of them, and especially when you're trying to share it with other people. But at the time, it's a very real experience. Your senses are highly alert, and at the time, you've got a fairly keen awareness of whatever it is that's around you that's making it happen. So.
Yeah, and I've seen horror films. I know how it ends.
Yeah,
I was out of there like a rocket.
So this job position, I think we were already on the track to an answer for this, for maybe all of you, but does this job position attract you or repel you?
It repels me, but mostly because I don't like working with children.
So, I was like, I want to apply because I've never been to Scotland. And that's a good way to live. It's, money-wise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so much. They don't mention the children.
How do you mean?
Well, have they mentioned the children in the ad?
Oh, yeah, that's they just do. The last paragraph. Yeah.
I was going to say.
Yeah, in fact, I've got a copy of the ad here.
Those poor kids.
Yeah, so the children, we have children ages 5 and 7, and we live in a lovely, spacious, historic, obviously historic, property with spectacular views. Duties would include preparing breakfast, getting the children ready for school, dropping off and picking up from school, assisting after school, including helping with homework and getting them ready for bed.
Occasional exorcisms.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think the children are just terrible and this is their way of saying, it's a ghost, everybody?
Yeah. Well, you know,
I smashed a glass. I didn't do it. I was the ghost.
Exactly.
Some employers under-promise and over-deliver. So maybe they're thinking if they do the opposite, if they actually lower people's expectations.
Yeah.
Maybe people will turn up and go, oh, you know, there aren't any ghosts. And in comparison, the kids aren't that bad.
I like that. I think we should have honest job ads for other things as well. It's like, oh, please take this role. Your description might change. We're not really sure what we're doing here. We might undergo another change in the company. We might be taking over. Anyway, would you like to work here? So that would be an honest job description for like corporate jobs.
Well, we were chatting offline before the show. I think Kate was mentioning some, you know, some things that she sees in work where, you know, you could be doing something and all of a sudden the whole pattern of the work could change. And, you know, and she had done the risk assessment on some career opportunity potentials there for that very reason. And I think with technology, we're seeing more and more of that, you know, the job that you apply for today may not be the same job in 6 months' time or 12 months' time. So, so even though, you know, this is for a nanny housekeeper, you could actually be you could be tech support for a...
You could be a demon hunter. You could be a ghost trapper. Yeah, you could be anything.
Yeah, so it could be a very fluid job description.
Maybe they just saw the movie Ghostbusters and thought, that's what we need. Smart nanny in a Ghostbuster suit.
Yeah.
Did you all watch Scooby-Doo when you were kids?
Yeah.
Or last weekend?
Yeah.
Those meddling kids. See, it's the kids again.
Is there a bit of that flavour about this story, do you think? Are they maybe, you know?
Is it a good, is it a castle they live in? Are they looking to boost tourism? I don't know. Yeah, I feel like it's...
They're not in a castle, but could it boost tourism anyway?
Maybe they just want the ad to go viral.
Yeah.
Maybe they couldn't find anyone. They've thought, you know what we need? A bit of virality. Let's get this ad trending. We'll make up a ghost.
And there are no ghosts, but they have been having too many Scooby snacks.
Yeah. Well,
no.
I'm only sorry that our listeners couldn't see your facial expression as well. The look of delight on your face when you said Scooby snacks.
I don't even, well, I've been told what Scooby snacks are like 2 months ago because before, like, I had no idea when I watched it as a kid. It's like, a snack? Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did, you got to look back at some old cartoons and go, that was the 70s. Like,
So Kate was mentioning about, the, you know, the fact that it could be deliberate to go viral and, you know, I guess in support of that, I was mentioning this story to T last night at a pub.
Yeah.
So here we are discussing on the other side of the world and T was saying last night that she would consider applying for it.
Absolutely. But you've told me there's been a lot of applicants in the interim, so...
Yeah, well, according to the Scottish Sun newspaper, they have already had they had 150 applications within 24 hours and another 50 inquiries without formal application yet.
Don't worry. With that turnover, you can apply again in the next 2 weeks. It's fine. Yeah.
My only thing is, I don't know if you're going to go there, Sean, but, I mean, if you were so sure that there was... It's interesting that they've never seen anything. If you're so sure that there's ghosts and there's proof and there's et cetera, why would you not get someone in to heal and clean out the house? I really don't understand that. It's done. There's people that do it. I've heard success stories about it happening from friends of mine who have no reason to make up a story, yeah.
That's a good point. Do you think that you need to believe in order to do that?
No, bleach fixes everything. No.
Bleach? What, from the smell?
Was that bleach? Bleach.
Bleach.
Just get some Domestos, pour it around the place, it'll be fine.
So do you think that the couple need to believe in ghosts in order to then go the next step to pay somebody to come and clear the ghosts for
Probably. Like if they don't, if they've never experienced it, they're not creeped out by what they do.
That would be cheaper than paying double the going rate for an ending. I really...
And would you put that in your ad? The house has been ghost cleared.
Well, you just move on and don't mention it. It's kind of move on and stop going viral.
And they wouldn't get 150 applications in 24 hours.
No, but they would get They would get people that might stay for longer.
I think we're doing a pretty good Scooby-Doo investigation on this one.
I think so. It was the neighbour.
And he would have got away for us if it wasn't for us meddling kids.
Meddling neighbours, yeah.
So I was going to ask, if you were the employers, what would you do? And I think we've already touched on that a bit. CJ, would you do anything different from what we've discussed?
I'd move house.
Yeah. Agreed.
Kate, you'd...
I would move. If I had that much money that I could pay double the going rate, I would move. I would honestly, I'd get out of there, find an apartment somewhere, a cute little modern place. I'd be out in a flash.
Modern places can be haunted too.
Well, then I would get a really good tent and I would just put it up.
Have you seen, I can't remember that, what is that movie? When they're in the tent, out in the middle?
Oh, the Blair Witch Project.
Oh, yeah, good goodness. Idea picking a tent.
Well, in that case.
Igloo?
An igloo.
There's another movie about that one too. It'll come to me.
How about a yurt?
So you seem to be a catalogue of horror movies.
I hate horror movies.
And it sounds like you've watched a few.
I watched Blair Witch Project by myself.
That sounds like a good idea.
At home, not even in my own home, by myself. It was the stupidest thing. I had to keep pausing it and walking away and playing music and then going back to it. Stupidest thing I've ever done.
Why would you go back to it if it's so horrible?
I don't know. To see how it ended.
I'm really going to put myself through distress.
Pretty much, yeah. I'm hardcore, man.
Hardcore, exactly. Oh, I'm going to see this through if it's going to kill me.
Okay. It doesn't seem that anybody, other than mentioning it today, it doesn't seem that the parents have considered, or the previous nannies have considered that moving chairs, broken glass and strange noises could actually be the kids themselves.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. I think there's been a few movies about that as well, where kids get rid of nannies they don't like.
There's another one that's just coming out, and it's The Doll. The doll is the thing that's moving it. The doll is possessed. So, I mean, have they looked at the toys around the house? Like a good old decluttering Clarence of Spirits would get that all sorted.
Marie Kondo. Marie Kondo, but for the other one.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Is this ghost giving me pleasure and joy?
Yeah.
No.
I spark joy when I'm possessed by it.
You're on The Vulture's Nest on 2SER 107.3. So far this morning, we've been discussing potentially getting a job in a haunted house and some of the aspects of that. And we're going to take a track now. We're going to be back shortly to discuss another story that's been in the news this week. Officially, a ghost wasn't involved, but we'll look a little bit more into that after we take this track. We're going to Gotta Stop It by the Icy Poles.
Entertaining crushes, love your girlfriend. You'll be much better off if you stay just friends.
No, 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 stay just friends.
You tell her she's the only one,
she's the only one,
but really you're just having fun.
You're just having
so
fun.
If you go.
Gotta stop and let her go. Settle down, settle down. You gotta stop and let her go. Gotta stop fooling around. Stop and let it go. You gotta stop and let it go. You
You gotta stop and let it go. You gotta stop and let it go. You gotta stop and let it go. You gotta stop and let it go.
You've got to stop and let it go.
Bye-bye, ghosty.
You've got to stop, but you've got to let it go.
Sounds like you shouldn't fart when you walk. That's what I'm taking away from this song.
Yeah. You've got to stop and let it go. And keep walking.
that's me done. Thank you very much. I'm out.
Great talking to you.
If the mic wasn't attached,
later.
That was the mic drop moment. Yeah. Thank you, CJ.
2SER, everyone. Tune in.
You are on 2SER 107.3. I'm Sean, your host in the Vulture's Nest this morning. Just before we took a track, we were discussing ghosts or potential ghosts in a Scottish house. Now we'd like to talk about a story that maybe metaphorically it's ghosts in the machine. Can I start by asking you, Nesties, on this story, do you fly much? CJ, do you fly much?
A little bit, yeah. About one domestic and one international flight every 2 years.
Okay.
Not really that much. Actually, now that I consider it, I'm hardly ever in the
airport. For a young spring chicken like you, that's nothing at all.
It's like, yes, I get out much. Yes, no, I don't.
T, how about you?
Not as much as I'd like, but yeah, obviously New Zealand time, so that's hopefully a couple times a year.
On Facebook, you seem to be in New Zealand a lot.
Well, yeah, 7 months, but yeah.
Oh, but just the one flight,
just
right.
Just the one flight, yeah.
Right, okay.
One flight there and then one flight back.
It seems like you've never gone that, so I'm always thinking you must be flying backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
You go, what, a couple of times a year?
Yeah, I try to. Yeah, I would like to go more. That is the intention. Everyone's having babies now, so it's time to get back and meet the babies.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Kate, how about you? Fly much?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think like T, I'd always like to be able to fly more, but I fly a little bit.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Well, this story, I don't know if airlines can be hoarded, but on Tuesday, a newlywed couple boarded a United Airlines flight in Newark, New Jersey, headed for Venice as part of their honeymoon. It was the bride's first overseas flight, so she was understandably a little bit nervous. She looked out the window and...
Lots of things for the first time there, yep.
Yeah, so this is just before take... This is just before take... You're on fire this morning. It was just before takeoff, and the bride saw fuel gushing out of the end of the wing of the aeroplane that she was on. Being the first overseas flight, you know, maybe there was a moment where she thought, perhaps this is normal. But she videoed it and tweeted it. And, you know, on the tweet, you can hear her talking to her husband about it. Her husband goes, I don't think that's right. So he got up and ran down the aisle to alert the crew. He was told to sit down. We're about to take off. He said, I think there's something wrong. And they said, is it an emergency? He said, I don't know. And they said, well, just sit down. So... Then I think they came with him to escort him back to his seat, and they saw for themselves that there was this gushing fountain of fuel coming out of the wing. They then ran to the cockpit, alerted the pilots, and the plane was shut down, didn't take off.
Mm.
So that in itself was part of the story. But the aftermath as well is a little interesting. The couple were then invited to the cockpit and given a glass of champagne, and they got to show their video to the pilots, who were understandably horrified. So, I guess...
Sounds like they had to stop and let it go.
Yeah.
So, United Airlines, they're also the airline who had the doctor who was forcibly removed from a plane a month or two ago. Mm. I think we even talked about that story on the Vulture's Nest. Mm-hmm. They also had a musician, I think, last week. She had an altercation. She had a very old violin. And she had
Worth a lot of money, I think. Believe. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they wanted her to put it in, to check it into luggage. And she was saying, no, I can't. It's too valuable. It has to go with me on the plane.
Absolutely.
And apparently got into a physical scuffle about that.
Oh, wow.
So with these highly publicised removals of so-called disruptive people from aeroplanes.
That's right. Those musical people and doctor people.
Yeah.
The worst, the scum of society.
Yeah.
Classical musicians and doctors.
Do you think people are less likely to report something suspicious on a plane?
Well, I was quite worried when you said he ran towards the cockpit. That's usually a sign of, some air marshal might get out the gun and shoot that guy. Yeah. So,
it's surprising that didn't happen, that he wasn't tackled.
That he wasn't tackled, yeah.
Because that is happening. That is happening more, yeah.
Yeah.
I particularly like that they're like, sit down, sir, sit down. is it an emergency? I don't know. Sit down, sir. We're about to take off. And then they have a look and they're like, oh my God!
There's something on the wing!
It's an emergency.
It is an emergency.
And that's just it. I think I sit a lot in the exit rows because I'm very tall and I need the leg room. And even with that, I was thinking, I've done it so many times, you know, I think I know the procedure very, very well. I always still pay attention. But I see some people there who sometimes don't pay attention, don't seem to care. And I'm even thinking, is this something you should actually have a certificate for, you know, that, to show that you can actually lift the weight of the door to open it if you need to, and that you do know what the procedure is. And, you know,
it makes sense that if you were strong enough to do that, you're probably of a reasonable size, because those doors are heavy. Like, not everyone's going to be able to do that. Mm. So,
yeah.
So, and then it makes sense that you would want the extra leg room. So I'm not sure why they don't go, oh, 6'8", which you are, Sean. 6'8". Yeah, you can go into the, you can get some extra leg room.
Oh, they used to do it as a matter of course.
Yes.
But then they decided that, you know, well, they realised they could charge extra for that seat.
So. And he's paying attention. To the procedures.
Exactly. Yeah. That's like a gold star.
That's the person you want in the exit row. Also paying attention to the wing if there is fuel gushing out. what a cute thing is, like, the bride asked her new husband, like, is this normal? What do you think? Wow.
Yeah.
Good on them for saying something, because it turned out to be quite a bad thing. Like, you know, the fire truck came out immediately. Everybody had to be ushered out, except for those two people who had to be ushered into the cockpit and got a glass of champagne.
That's right.
I don't understand.
It does seem a bit bizarre, doesn't it?
I go, ooh, fuel, flammable. What should we do? Let's go have a drink of champagne, guys.
Bring the bubbles.
And let's look at the video and have a good chuckle about it.
Yeah.
So do you think people are, well, do you think you personally are more or less likely to report something suspicious since, you know, say September 11, 2001?
Look, I'm a Kiwi, so we don't say nothing. We don't say nothing.
That's why we get you on this show.
Yeah. Nothing. I've been here too long, that's why.
Kate, do you think you're more or less likely to report something suspicious?
Look, I'm... Honestly, if I saw something suspicious, yeah, I would probably report it. When I fly, if I'm flying for over an hour, I'm usually Xanaxed out of my mind. So I'm seeing, like, unicorns bouncing around the ceiling. Like, I'm thinking that I'm on a yacht in the Mediterranean.
Oh, nice.
So a lot of the things that I'm seeing aren't really grounded in reality.
Right.
But I think, look, if I did see something really sus, I would report it. But I think as well, that's probably speaking from somewhat of a position of privilege. When you said before about why wasn't he tackled, I was thinking, you know what, if that was a guy who was dark-skinned,
absolutely,
he would have been on the floor. This had to be a white guy, because he ended up in the cockpit drinking champagne. Mm. So I feel like as a white woman, yes, I could probably report something and get away with it, sadly.
Like, that crazy white woman again. Like,
yeah.
The one with the unicorns and the Mediterranean yacht.
Yeah, she's over there babbling away in her seat.
Have you ever made the mistake of drinking on the Xanax?
Mistake?
Okay.
It's not a mistake when I do it, honey, if you know what I mean. Oh, honey.
This plane is haunted. And CJ, do you think you're more or less likely to report it?
I'm not even sure if I'm more or less likely. I have done that.
Yeah.
I have alerted the flight attendant to smoke coming out of the wing. And she
really?
Said, oh, yeah, nothing to worry about, ma'am. And I was like, oh, okay. And then she came back with another flight attendant and they looked at it again. I was like, maybe there's something to worry about. And then our flight was delayed for 4 hours. So
that'll teach you.
And I felt really bad. It's like, oh, why am I always doing it? Why do I speak up about these things? And then it turns out, okay, you should maybe speak
up. I'm happy to get on a flight with you, CJ, darling. Okay. I am happy to get on a flight with you, because I seriously wouldn't say anything. I'd be like,
let's go on a trip together.
I think we should invite Kate too, so she can tell us about the unicorns.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
My favorite thing is, we went, like, one of my mates is drinking wine, first trip overseas as a group, and 20,000 feet in the air, late at night, going across the Greenland, and he's out the window looking to see what was out there. That was the best.
You've been listening to The Vulture's Nest on 2SER 107.3. Thank you very much to my guests this morning, Kate Islin.
Thank you.
CJ Delling.
Thanks for having me.
Tarina Toite.
Thank you, Sean.
Stay tuned. Coming up very shortly is Sophie Lai with So Hot Right Now.